Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. This is awesome.
So it's the beginning of the competitive season. Is this typically the time of year when you start raising money?
Fundraising as a professional athlete is kind of a year-round gig, but we are getting ready to start our World Cup season, both of us. It's a challenge.
Yeah, I have to agree with Noah. We try to raise money year-round. I don't think there'd be any way I could try to compete a full winter just raising in the fall. So it's a job on top of skiing.
How do you raise money, Michael?
We have, at least for our Nordic sports, we have what's called the National Nordic Foundation, and that helps raise money for not only national members, but also developing programs throughout the country. The NNF for Nordic combined really helps the B team and the C team with travel expenses. So I also work really hard at trying to raise money for the NNF.
We really try to hit fundraising from all angles. So we do these fundraising events, especially in the communities, you know, for both of us in Aspen here where we grew up, in the community that supported us and helped us get to this level in the first place. But then we also try to work on our social networking and social media presence and solicit. I've run some crowdfunding campaigns through some online platforms like rallyme.com, which is actually a partner of the US ski team. And then we have try to find corporate sponsors as well. And I've been lucky that I've had some really great support from Modshu Skis and from my title sponsor, which is a building company called ThoughtForms out in Boston, Massachusetts. And those two have contributed hugely to my ability to compete professionally and full-time, which is essential to being able to ski at an international level. It's not possible to ski part-time and be competitive on the World Cup circuit.
Well, and can I ask you, I mean, how much does it cost per year? Where are those expenses incurred?
The expenses are kind of broken down into direct travel and skiing-related expenses and then living expenses. And of course, since we're not holding down a normal job, we have to cover both. And the travel and skiing-related expenses, you know, multiple trips, air flights to Europe a year, camps in New Zealand and in Alaska and in Canada, those add up to roughly $25,000 a year. And then the living expenses are roughly the same to be able to rent an apartment and, you know, feed ourselves and buy gas and pay car insurance and all that kind of stuff is roughly another $25,000. And I'm lucky that I think Michael is too, that we have very supportive parents that have helped us get to the level that we're at and are still helping us pay for some of those living related expenses. I drive my parents' car and they pay for my car insurance and my cell phone bill and stuff like that. I'm incredibly lucky. But the total, if you looked at everything it takes to support me as an athlete, it's almost $50,000 a year.
For me, it's probably around the same, $25,000, $30,000 for just skiing. But I also have a part-time job. I work at a pizzeria trying to make as much money as I can to pay for as much as I can.
I mean, is there a point where you start making money as an athlete?
There's a level where the top skiers in the world are making millions of dollars a year in cross-country skiing. But it really is, you know, maybe 10 men and 10 women worldwide that are making that kind of money. But the curve is incredibly steep. And that's the goal, of course, for both of us, is to get to that point where we are achieving our goals at the highest levels of our sport worldwide, and we're making that kind of money that comes along with that success.
Well, and with you, Noah, I mean, you went to the Olympics. I'm sure that a lot of people think that, you know, these are the athletes, the top athletes in the world. They've got to be making money, but that's not necessarily the case.
No, I think in particular it's really hard as an American athlete because we don't get any governmental support for athletics in this country, which is very unusual when you look at Olympic sports worldwide. And so organizations like the U.S. Ski Team and the U.S. Ski and Snowboard Association have to do all their own fundraising and find corporate sponsors to support all of their programs, which includes all of the national teams and all of the developmental programs and putting on all the race series. It's huge, huge amount of logistics, and it requires a ton of staff, and the money really is extremely tight. And so it's not as easy to make it work financially as it may appear.
And so, Michael, with the USSA announcing earlier this year that they were dropping the Nordic combined Does that make it more challenging for you financially?
Definitely. We found out this spring that USSA was going to completely cut our funding. Our coaches and our all our staff, even athletes that had done really well last year that weren't on the ski team, hoping to be on the ski team, were everyone was just it was just frantic. But over the summer, the U.S. Nordic combined team was talking to the U.S. ski jumping team. We were looking at moving in with the U.S. ski jumping team because they're not a part of the USSA program. And my teammate Bill DeMong worked endless hours to try and raise money for us. And it has been a challenge in the past. Our whole team usually goes over to Europe 3 times in the summer to train with Germany and Austrian teams. This year we only had one trip to Europe, which was about 2 weeks ago, and it was a great trip. We got to go to Switzerland and Germany, but it was only one trip, and we realized that the Austrian team was jumping very well, so we have some work to do still.
Okay, so that the whole deal may have cost you some training time.
Yeah, and some people ask, why is it so important to go train over in Europe? Why is it so important to, why can't you just train in Park City or in Steamboat Springs or in Lake Placid, New York? And those are all perfectly good venues, but it's not only about training on a different hill, but also training with the elite athletes. I mean, when we were in Germany, we were jumping with the overall World Cup winner, Eric Frenzel from Germany, and I feel confident going into the winter right now, even though we were only there for 2 weeks to see kind of where we were in the whole mix of things. But the funding cuts this past season have definitely taken a toll on our team.
Does it ever get frustrating the way that you guys have to scramble for money in these sports?
At the beginning of the summer, when I found this out, that U.S. Nordic Combined was cut, I think everyone was scrambling, trying to find just a hold on something, because I mean, at least the Nordic teams get cuts every year. It is a constant scramble, but we have such an amazing community here in Aspen, such great family and friends. I'm not worried about this upcoming season anymore.
I've been fortunate enough to get to know a bunch of my competitors from around the world, Norwegians and Germans, and I got a really good friend from Estonia. And all of those athletes are fully covered. They don't have any idea what we go through in this country to raise the funds to go compete on the World Cup. They get stipends. The Central European countries have a program where their professional athletes can be part of their public services, military, customs, police force. And as long as they're ranked a certain level internationally, they don't have to do any work. They just get paid a full salary for those services. And I've come to view it as a disadvantage for them because, yes, it can be challenging and it can be stressful to not know where your funding is going to come from. But having to raise the money to compete has allowed me to stay so much more connected with the community and with the people who follow me and who support me than I ever would have before.
How are you both feeling going into the season, Noah?
I've had an awesome summer of training. I feel extremely fit. In the previous 3 years, I've had shoulder surgeries, 2 of those 3, and having to overcome injury has always been a challenge. I think I came through it really well, but this year being injury-free has been an incredible opportunity for me to make some huge gains and to work on my weaknesses, and I'm extremely excited for the season.
Yeah, the summer went really well for me on the cross-country side. For some reason, the last 2 summers, I've really struggled on the ski jumping side. And then when I was in Europe 2 weeks ago, we finished off the camp in Austria, and I was finally able to kind of turn my jumping around. And we had a little team competition there, and I ended up winning the jumping and the cross country. So I was really happy with that.
Well, good luck to you both. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you
so much for having us.